Can we have our Old Testament reading, please? It's from Psalms.
Faith in the law of the Lord. Your word, O Lord, will last forever. It is eternal in heaven. Your faithfulness endured for all the ages. You have set the earth in place and it remains. All sin remains till you die because of your command, desire all your servants. If your law had not been the source of my joy, I would have died from my sufferings. I will never neglect your instructions, because by them to cut me alive. I am yours, save me. I try to obey your commands, the wicked are waiting to kill me, but I will meditate on your laws. I have learned to exceed the limits, but your commandment is perfect. Left of the law of the Lord, how I left your law. I think about it all day long. Your commandment is with me all the time, and make me wiser than my enemies. I understand more than all our teachers, because I meditate on your instructions. I have greater wisdom than those who are old, because I obey your commands. I had avoided all evil conduct, because I want to obey your word. I have not neglected your instructions, for you yourself are my teacher. How sweet is the taste of your instructions, sweeter even than honey. I gain wisdom from your laws, and so I hate all bad conduct, light from the law of the Lord. Your word is a lamp to guide me, and a light for my path.
The last verse we read, wasn't it? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I remember years ago when I was an apprentice, I was working, our firm did a lot of Catholic work, and we were in a convent, and they had a corridor longer than this, and it was dark, and there was a light, a very small light, every now and again. And my electrician said to me, John, quick as you can, go and get me something. So I rushed down this corridor and I fell over a nun. She was kneeling against the wall praying, and she was completely black. You couldn't see the white bit because it was against, and I didn't see her. So light is so important to us, isn't it? We need light. Have you ever been in a place where it is so dark that you can't see your hand in front of your face? I remember North Middlesex Hospital, I was doing a job there at one time, and we had a fire in the basement. And I'd been working there for about 3 years, and I thought, don't worry, I know it. So I said to everybody, follow me. So we all started running, following me, and I ran straight into a brick wall, which I swear wasn't there when I came into it, but it was so dark that we lost our bearings. We couldn't see. The other week, I was doing a fire report for Ponder's End. So at night, I decided I'd go when it was dark, switch all the lights off and see what I could see. So I turned all the lights off and fell over the chairs because I couldn't see anything. It was so dark. We need light, don't we, in our lives. I'm sure we all prefer light rather than darkness, don't we? Why do we need light? Well, I think we've explained it, don't we? We need light because we need to see. I read a story about a blind man in a great city. He was found sitting at a street corner with a lantern burning by the side of him. And people looked and thought, that's funny. Why does he want a lamp? So they went up to him and said, excuse me, why have you got a lamp? It's no good to you. You can't see with it. Oh, he says, I need that lamp so that people can see me. Which is true, isn't it? It's not only a light going out. we need a light so that people can see us. I think it was in my memories right in 1947, I was on Edmonton Green as a lad, and it was the time of the power shutdowns, the power cuts. And all of a sudden, all the street lights, all the shop lights went out, and it was total darkness apart from one shop, and it was a blaze of light. Now, I don't know if you can guess what shop it was, but it was the Eastern Electricity Board shop. Because why? They hadn't got electric light, they got gas light. So there was still a light. You see, we need light to be seen. Yes, light is very important to us all, isn't it? It not only allows us to see, but to be seen. But it also allows things to grow, doesn't it? Have you ever tried to grow on seedlings? I did it when I was a kid. You used to take them home from school or something, put them in a cupboard, and you'd see these weak little white shoots coming up, really sickly looking. But when you brought them out into the light, everything changed, didn't it? They got life, strength, and they started to grow. So we not only need light and warmth to see, we also need light for us to grow. I looked in my Bible, there are 64 references in the Bible telling us about light. First one is right at the beginning in Genesis chapter 1 verse 3. It says, when God made light, he made it light. God created light. Before that, there was darkness. And it goes right through the Bible to Revelation 22 verse 5, when God will supply the light in heaven. So there'll be no longer any light. God created it. God made it. God put it there. But God one day will take it away. And in the New Testament, we often read of Jesus. He often talked about himself as being light. And in John 8:12, we read this, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So if you've got Jesus in your life, you won't be walking in darkness. You'll have his life with you. Have you ever followed a light? I remember some years ago, my family, we went on holiday to Wales by car, and we got to the Llanberis Pass. I don't know if any of you have been up it, but we got there about midday, but it was pitch black. There was a terrific thunderstorm. You could hardly see it an inch in front of your face. It was so dark. I thought, now what do I do? But there was a car in front of me with its tail lights blazing red. So I thought, well, I'll follow him. So I followed him right through the Llanberis Pass, got to the other side, got to where we were staying, and I thought, great. The next day, it was a beautiful sunny day, so we went for a tour around the countryside, seeing the lovely sunshine and the country and the birds singing. It was fantastic. And we finished up again at the Llanberis Pass. I thought, right, here we go. So we started driving through it, and I suddenly noticed on either side of the road, there was walls with big holes in, where cars had gone over the cliff, over the mountain. I thought, I don't like this. Then I suddenly thought to myself, don't be stupid, John. Yesterday, when you couldn't see anything other than the light in front of you, you had no trouble going through. But now I can see the big picture. I'm getting worried and scared. You see, if we keep our eyes as Christians on our Lord and we follow him, we won't go astray, will we? Do you remember in Matthew 5, we read about when Jesus walked on the water? I was looking at your pictures and I noticed the second one along is Peter walking on the water. The boat, the disciples have got out to the middle of the sea and they see Jesus coming towards him. What happened? Peter got out the boat, didn't he? He got out of the boat to walk to Jesus. Now, if you read from the scriptures, read it, the Bible, it says that he asked Jesus, can I come to you? He didn't get out of the boat till Jesus said to him, come. You see, we need to be in touch with Jesus before we do things. Ask him do you want us to do it? Peter did. He got out of the boat and he walked toward Jesus, didn't he? And what do we know as we read the story? As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was okay. But as soon as he took his eyes off of Jesus and started looking around at the big storm and all the wind and everything around him, we know what happened, don't we? He started to sink. He started to go down. See, he was safe as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. What did Jesus say in John chapter 8? We keep our eyes on him and follow him. He will lead us. He will guide us. He will keep us. You see, while Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, he was okay. But when he took off his eyes off of Jesus, he started to sink. But what did Jesus do? Now, I don't know. We may have looked at Peter and thought, well, serves you right. You took your eyes off of me. Go and drown, you know. But Jesus didn't. Jesus held out his hand. He held out his hand to Peter. Peter had to do something. Peter had to hold out his hand and take Jesus's in his hand. Jesus offers his hand to the people today. He hands it out to the people in the world. But they have got to accept Jesus's hand and accept it. And as soon as Peter took his hands, Jesus's hand, Jesus pulled him up out of the sea. They went back to the boat and they were safe. The other Saturday, in my Bible notes, they had a footnote and it said this: keep your eyes on God. He never takes his eyes off of you. Isn't that wonderful? We may take our eyes off of God and Jesus, but God never takes his eyes off of us. In John 9, we read, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Who's that? That's Jesus talking. What did Jesus mean? Well, while Jesus was walking this world, people could watch him. They could see what he did. They could hear what he said. They could see him heal the sick, the blind, turn water into the best wine going. Feed, remember, 5,000 people from just a young lad's lunchbox. They could hear what he had to say too about God's caring love for men. They heard all this. They could see this with Jesus. But one thing, though he was God, one thing he couldn't do. And that was, of course, he was in a man's body. He couldn't be in two places at once. He could only be at one place at a time, dealing with those people. And there came a time, didn't there? We celebrated at Easter, when Jesus went to the cross and went back to heaven. Was that the end of Jesus' message? The end of his teaching? Was it all over? Had the light gone? And it's now back to darkness. In Matthew 5, we read this. You, he's talking about us, you and me. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So the light's still here, but it isn't coming from Jesus now, it's us. It's us that have got to put it. And the Message Bible puts it perhaps in a more modern way. The same verse, it says, you're here to be light, bringing out the good colours, God's colours in the world. God's not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you lights bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand. And there's a lovely word, I think, there. It says shine. We're to shine. Do we shine? I know some days we do, but on a cold, wet, wintry night, day, we find it hard to shine, don't we? It goes on, they put it, keep open house, be generous with your lives. Be opening up to others. You'll prompt people to open up with God. Their generous Father, God in heaven. God is relying on us to tell people about himself by the way we live our lives and what we do and what we say. As Christians, we need to see the needs of our communities and get among the people and show them God's love for them. Do you remember not so long ago the riots in Enfield? Enfield was in trouble. And now we have the drugs, the street gangs, stabbings and shootings on our streets. Whatever the cause, the church needs to get among the people and show them there is a better way in their lives. We had, I think it was Thursday, Friday, about 5 o'clock in Edmonton, we had 4 stabbings. I believe it was 2 schools came out and they had a fight. But whereas we used to, when we were at school, sort of throw a few fisticuffs about, they used knives and 4 people were stabbed. We've got to show people that God's way is better. Also, look at the bigger picture, not just locally, but the bigger picture in the world. At this time of cuts, unemployment, famine, poverty and war. A time when man needs God's saving grace, don't they? Who's God relying on? Jesus is back in heaven. God's relying on us to tell people. Will we keep quiet and not tell anybody about our God and our Saviour Jesus? Or we can let everybody know. Do we live our lives by God's rules? When people look at us, what do they see? Do they see Jesus or do they see us? We may not become preachers or teachers. You may think, what can I do? My sister was telling me about a lady in her church. Her way of telling people is that she gets on a bus to go into town, sits next to somebody and says, excuse me, I need to read this leaflet, but I can't read English. Will you read it for me? And most people will say, yes, certainly, dear. And they'll take it. Oh, by the way, she says, I'm deaf. So you'll have to speak up so that I can hear. What she's done? She's given her a piece of God's word. She's given him a tract. So not only is the person who's reading it hearing it, people all around them sitting on the bus hears it because she's speaking up loud. That's how God can work. But back to our theme of light. How many of you have stood and watched a lighthouse? I saw a picture up there of a lighthouse. How many of you stood and watched a lighthouse at night as the beam shines far out to sea, warning seafarers of the danger they're heading towards? Or in the time of the Second World War, we used to see searchlights, didn't we, with the beams of the planes picking out enemy craft. But have you ever seen the bulb in a lighthouse? It's not that big, funny enough. It's a bit bigger than a normal house light, but it's not that big. So how can it shine miles out to sea with a beam? It's because behind that lamp, that little lamp, there's a big reflector, a mirror. And as the light hits that mirror, it's beamed out. It's sent out across the water. So our success doesn't depend on us, does it, so much? It's are we in touch with God, with God's Holy Spirit, with Jesus. So when we speak and work for our Lord, it's not us that the people see, it's the beam reflected from the Holy Spirit behind us. You know, we can all gossip of Jesus' life and love for us and God's. We can tell our friends, neighbours, and various people about what a wonderful, caring, and loving God we have. God uses us. But if we can't do any of those things, he can still use us. He can use us for prayer. Prayer is a very mighty tool in the Christian's armour. He can use our prayers. We don't even need to get out of our bed or our armchair, but we can pray. And God hears our prayers and things happen. Way back in 2016, on December the 27th at Ponders End, we sang a song. You may have sung it here at the time, but it went like this. Longing for light, we wait in darkness. Longing for truth, we turn to you. Make us your own, your holy people. Light of the world to see. Christ, be our light. Shine in our hearts. Shine through the darkness. Christ, be our light. Shine in our church, gathered here today. God is relying on us. As we started by saying, there's not many of us here, but you don't know what one person here this morning may be able to achieve for God. But why do we need to spread the light of Jesus? Why is it so important? In John 14 we read this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Do you realise what he's saying? Do you realise what we've just said? He is the only way that people on this earth will get to be with the Father in heaven. As a church, we do not need to save the world. God will do that. God made it. God sustains it. And when God decides to finish it, he will do it. We're not told to save the world. I know that man is mucking it up big time, aren't they? And they're making a mess on it. But in Genesis 2 verse 19 we read this. The Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work in it and to take care of it. So we're not told to just turn a blind eye. We're told as Christians that we've got a responsibility. But it's not our main responsibility. The main responsibility of the church is to warn people. You can make their lives as comfortable as you like, but if they haven't got Christ in their life, what's happening? You're making their life more comfortable as they go to a lost eternity. That's the message that Jesus tells us. We are the light. It's up to us to go out and tell people about his love for them. But we've talked about light, we've talked about God making light, we've talked about Jesus being the light, we've talked about us being the light. And as I said, it goes right through to Revelation. And with this, I'll finish. Revelation 22, verse 5 says this: there will be no more night. They will not need the light of the lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give the light. God made light. God is the light. And God will be the sustaining light when we're in heaven. Amen.